Thank you, Ron. Thank you for your prayer, and thank you for your grace and all the things that you do, that the Lord gives us grace for understanding. And that's a free gift, and He gives us hope through the faith of the Word of God.
Amen.
And that too is something that we couldn't live without, for our understanding as to what God has left for us here. Okay. 2 Timothy 4, and we left off with verse 5 last time, and I'm going to read it again, and we're going to do 5 because I really didn't get involved in more than just reading it. And if we're getting down toward, as the old man says, brass tacks. Now, in Jack's Workman's Interlinear, in 2 Timothy, so we're getting down to the last page in the King James Version. And we're going to read verse 5 tonight. And verse 5 is in chapter 4. And this is study 217, where we've been in this book that Jack wrote for us a few years ago. We got our hands on it and haven't turned it loose. And I'll just read you again what it says in the King James Version, and then we'll do it just like we've been doing it. It said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." And so this is what Paul is telling Timothy, because he's still not with Paul yet. And Paul is getting down toward the end of what he needs to tell Timothy to carry it on, because Paul now understands that the Lord is about done with him. But he has said in more places and more times that, I live because it's needful for you to know what I know, basically. That's not a quote, but it's fairly close to those things. And so we're going to go back and look at this again in verse 5. 5, 6, and 7 is short verses, but yet they're full of the stuff that we need to know. Because he's telling Timothy, boy, he's getting down to the fact that, I'm not going to be here very long. I'm about done. And here we are. And he tells Timothy to watch thou. He said, danger is here. And danger has pretty much, in Paul's understanding, for the Apostle Paul, after the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, danger has always been there. But God has always taken care of that danger, because we've seen where he's been stoned to death. And you go back to other places where he's been in all these other things, and he seems like he's been dogged ever since the Lord said, "You're mine, boy, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to do for me." And that's good old South Carolina English there. He says, "But watch thou, danger is here." And the word there is, to watch, is the word nepho in the Greek, nepho. In all things, he says, endure afflictions. So we realize that to suffer evil is kekopathio, if I can pronounce it even close. It says to do the work of an evangelist, to announce a joyful message, having regard to the matter announced. And he also says, make full proof of thy ministry. And that is very important too, because Timothy got some good teaching from the Apostle Paul and from these back and forth people that went as carriers of understanding to Paul and to others as to how things were going, and the people they had left behind, hoping that they would carry on the work and do the work of an evangelist. And so we've got several places to look at here, but before we do, let's go to Jack's verse in verse 5 and read it down from the Koine Greek, and we'll read Jack's notes. And it says this, verse 5, you but be sober in all, suffer hardships, work due of evangelists, the service of you fully perform. He's saying, don't back off, don't cut corners. What you know, you give it to them, and you give it to them the way you heard of it. Because in the past lesson or two, it was like Paul saying, I've got a roadmap for you, and you need to follow it. If I'm not with you, you follow it. What you've heard, what you know, what you've seen, and what you've done, follow that roadmap. You'll be okay. And I think that's one of the greatest thoughts that Timothy could have done. It was to follow Paul and to keep it going on. And evidently he'd done a pretty good job of it, I'd say. So it says this in Jack's notes, sober here indicates more serious. There is no relation to intoxicating beverages to be understood, to be always be sober. Take whatever hardship which comes your way to finish your job. An evangelist in the true sense of the word is one who tells the good news. This is his vocation. He has been brought into this to do that very thing through the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the Father. This is his vocation. Whatever your service is, do it fully, not shoddily or half-heartedly. So this is something that Paul, I'm sure, was very eager to tell Timothy before he gets to this next verse. And then we've got these notes that Jack has wanted us to look at. And there's a few of them. Not too many. But we're going to start in the book of Acts. So let's go back to Acts 8 to begin with. In Acts 8, and I've got a note there, if I can get it down to that. Seems like it's still eating it up. Here we go. In Acts 8, we're going to look at three places in Acts. Acts 8, we're going to look at Acts 8, 26 to 40. That seems to be quite a bit. Acts 8:24. In Acts 8:24-26. I'm sorry. No. Acts 7. I guess I need to put that back in Acts 8 because that belongs somewhere there. I get it right in a minute. Acts 17.
Why are you looking that up, Dad? Somebody asked who Jack Eberly was. And as I said, he was a good friend of ours, Bible teacher, had graduated from Bible College here in Greenville, South Carolina, years ago. Jack died, 4 years ago?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago.
One of the best books that he wrote before he died was this Workman's Interlinear that takes each of Paul's 7 prison epistles and literally makes an interlinear, word-for-word interlinear out of it as a reference book. And so it's we carry several copies here at TFT, and that's what Dad was saying. Jack gave him one of them right after he got it written, and it's just been a super reference book. Just the notes and the Greek information that's in it's almost indispensable. So hopefully that catches everybody up on who. Yeah, you sure can. We sell them here through TFT. Just give us a call, or I think you can actually check it out online. I believe that book's available through the online bookstore at TFT, tftmin.org is the website. Yeah, thanks, Chip. Couldn't remember if it was online or not. But yeah, we have several copies, in stock here at TFT, so wasn't trying to turn this into a sales pitch, but just trying to answer the question there.
It's always good.
Thanks, Chip, for the help. Back at you, Pop.
Always good. Yeah, I was right the first time. It's in Acts 8:26-40. And that's on page 1597 if you have a companion Bible. If you don't have a companion Bible, I can't help you with the page number because that's just the way it is. Okay, verse 5. Goes back to Acts 8:26-40. So Acts 8:26 says this, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now this is just before Paul was struck down on the Damascus Road. That was done in chapter 9. But I'm going to read this prelude here because here Philip had been chosen as one of the people to help the church and to keep it organized and keep it going. And they were people there from all over the world that had come back to Jerusalem. It said, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Okay, we all know where Gaza is, should now, because it's been a war zone for the past 3 or 4 months, which is desert. So it goes all the way to the ocean, Mediterranean Sea. Okay, verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Okay, so you see the eunuch was taking care of her riches and probably of her tour that she was on there when she had come to Gaza. It says, and the eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Okay. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. Okay, now you know that this Spirit can either be with or upon, but maybe not in yet. And so, evidently, the Spirit was dealing with Philip, and he said, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. In 32 and 33, is a quote from Isaiah 53:7. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? So Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. That's the last verse of chapter 8. Passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And that's the reason I needed to read the big part of it, because if you just got a little bit of that story, you wouldn't have understood what happened or what went on there.
Yeah, no. Azotus was, we figured it out one night, about 20-something miles.
Yeah.
He just gone. Just like that.
And showed up just like that.
That caught away, I believe, is the word metatithema.
Yeah.
He just moved.
Okay, there's another little part of this thing in Acts 12. So, turn with me, if you will, a few pages over to 1609, I believe. Might have been 1608 or 1609. Oh, we're going to read just one verse here. We're going to read verse 25 in chapter 12. On page 1609, it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Mark was a nephew, I believe, of Barnabas. at this point. And Barnabas didn't stay with them very long because they parted company with Saul, or Paul, if you will. And then we go to 13, chapter 13, which is another page or two over. On page 1611, we go to 1325. Okay, 1325 says this. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Who think ye that I am? I am not he," and this is John the Baptist. "But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation and sent." Okay, so this again is John the Baptist talking about the things that was going on here in the book of Acts. Okay, and then we go from Acts to 1 Corinthians 1. Right now, 1 Corinthians 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, 17... and 18 on page 1697, if you have a companion Bible. First 17 and 18 verses we're going to look at. And it says this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So in 1 Corinthians, it is declared there that it is the power of God. And the next one is Ephesians 4. So we go from Corinthians to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we're going to look at one verse there, and that is 4:11. And this is on page 1766. And Jack is explaining these people that are there teaching and preaching the word and what their jobs were in a great way that God gives us his wisdom that way, because sometimes you can't get all the information that you need just out of one little section of scripture. You got to go to several of them to see what the thing is. But verse 11 says this. I'm just going to read verse 10 also. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." And that's half of a parenthetical insertion there. 8 is part of it. And, or 9 is part of it, and 10 is part of it. And verse 11 is what we're going to look at. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers." Why? This is the alignment in order. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is Ephesians 4. A lot of stuff in the letter to the Ephesians. Okay. And the next one is in 1 Thessalonians. So you got to go through Philippians, and you got to go through Colossians to get to Thessalonians. Okay, and let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to look at 5 and 6. That's on page 1793. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And he says, we are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. And here's this word again, and be sober. Not to be intoxicated with anything, but to be sober. And he goes on to, and I didn't add this to it, but I should have, I guess. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Because generally speaking, when a man gets ready to go to bed, that's when he takes his drinks, evidently. So this is, this would be something that the Thessalonian people would understand. Okay, then we're going to go from there to 1 Timothy 1. Probably not going to be the last time we're there tonight. In 1 Timothy 1 and 11 and 12, page 18. 01, if you have a companion Bible. 1 Timothy 1, 11 and 12, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord that had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So if you're counting you to this understanding and this word, you see in verse 12 there, it wasn't Jesus anymore or Jesus Christ. It was Christ Jesus. Because to Timothy, Timothy had been left in Ephesus. And Timothy had been left there by Paul to, get the elders situated and to do the work of an evangelist there or a teacher there. And so this was the reason Paul was writing back these two letters to Timothy that we're in tonight. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, something has changed. Jesus was God's man, and man's God. Let's see, to his people, he was sent to his people first. But then, when you get on over toward the end of Paul's life, it was Christ Jesus, because Paul is teaching now, it's Christ for everybody, for what Christ did on the cross. And he took away our sins and made it possible that the gift of the Holy Spirit could come and enter you and give you the wisdom and knowledge and understand that you'd need to understand what's going on this day and age. Even this day and age. And so that gets us down to a point here where we'll go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we get to verse 6. And in verse 6, it kind of gets to be for me something that, we all got to look up for or look up to or look up for it if we have hope. Because Paul says this to Timothy. And I'll read it out of the King James Version. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Man. Paul says, "I'm writing this to you, Timothy. I'm telling you what I want you to know. But we might not get together before I'm gone." And, you know, a lot of times when you get with a crowd and someone wants to pour a toast, this is kind of like it was. He's about ready to be offered as a drink offering because his work is done, so to speak. It is near. His time to be here is just about up. And I'll read you my notes in verse 6. He said, "For I, Paul, am now ready to be offered, already being poured out. Spendomai in the Greek, as a drink. And the time of my departure or my release is at hand," or "it is at hand or come, to be instant in its instant and the release, the departure that we're looking at here." That word is analusis, and it means to be analyzed. I'm going to pour this out in this glass. I'm going to swirl it around. I'm going to smell it and smell the whatever it is that they smell of, and then it's going to be drank. To analyze what it is that was in Paul. And when you analyze Paul, it takes a little problem to analyze Paul because of what he was and what he meant to the Godhead. And to realize that all the stuff that he went through and all these verse scriptures and things is about to end. And in verse 6, Jack says this. In verse 6, see if I can find it. Yeah. He says, "For already." And sometimes the Koine Greek is a little tough to get at if you're not pretty used to reading it. And I'm not real good at reading it, I don't think, because probably I'm not doing a good job of it. But he says, "I for already am being poured out. And the time of the release of me is come." And that's the way it was originally in the Greek. And right on down to the more modern English, it says, "For I already am being poured out, and the time of my release is come." And so Mr. Everly, Jack, says this: "Paul is near the end of his ministry and life. In modern vernacular, he is drained. It is more a feeling than an expression of physical reality. So Paul is telling you what he feels in his body and in his heart and mind.
Or what the Lord has already revealed to him.
Yeah.
If you look back, it wasn't a lot Paul did that he didn't know what was coming up.
Yeah. And he says Paul was at the end of his strength physically. Soon God would release him from his ministry and his life. Do not construe this as sorrowing or complaint from Paul. He states this all almost matter-of-factly, doubtless very calmly.
Yep. I would agree with that.
And so, this is a short verse, no doubt, but it comes right to the point as he wants Timothy to know. Well, he says, right on down the line a little bit, you know, if you make it, okay. But if you don't, keep this letter. Read this letter. Okay. And there's three verses that Jack wanted us to look at here. That goes along with this verse of scripture. And this is one of the reasons I love the book so much. Because Jack did put a tremendous amount of time and effort into doing this. And by the way, for the person that asked the question a while ago to begin with about the workman's interlinear, it is in, listen to this, it is in the Library of Congress. You do not find many books that teach right division or rightly dividing God's Word. You don't find that much in the Library of Congress. So let's turn back to 2 Corinthians this time. And we got three places we want to look at here. 2 Corinthians. We'll get there in a minute. In front of Galatians. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. That's on page 1784 if you have a companion Bible. 5:1-5, 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring. What do we earnestly desire? To be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle or in this body do groan, being burdened, full stop. And if anybody could say that, the Apostle Paul could truly say that. He was burdened on every turn. They never let up on him. Not for that we groan, for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Well, that earnest of the Spirit now is getting to the point to where it would be in man and not with man or upon man as the eunuch was when we started this study a verse or two ago, it was talking to Philip like it was with Philip, but not in Philip. But here, we have the earnest of the Spirit. That Spirit indwells man as he has made a vow to God that whatever God wants him to do, he'll do it. And that's the gift of God known as salvation by the grace of God. It is a free gift given. And that Spirit intercedes with our being to the point, even to where we pray to God, the Spirit gives to God the understanding of what we should ask for or what we need to be doing. And the Spirit is our GPS. If we're part and parcel of the family of God, then that Holy Spirit is like your GPS in your car. Or your GPS is Christ Jesus through what the Spirit tells Christ. You may not know where you are in this old world, but there's one thing about it. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you can never be lost. Amen. And the Holy Spirit does a lot of different things for us. Leads, guides, and directs us in the way that God would have us to go. And if God hears our prayers, it's going to come through the Spirit, through the Son of God, to the Father. I'll never forget the day that I had a problem in my home when my wife had lost a foot. And I was out mowing the grass. And she was at the table in the wheelchair. I call it my little caterpillar. And she was going around and around the three rooms there, and the bar was in the middle of it. And I had left the bars open on the lift that we had, the Hoover round, and she was in the Hoover round. And when I come back in, she said, "Sis, put me in the chair. I'm done. I want to go back to bed." Well, it was still open, and I run it back up to where her chair was and run her in it. It was left open, matriculated. It was opened out.
Yeah.
And I got her in that thing, set her down in the chair, unhooked the lift, back lift out. About that time, something said, "Bling." I looked down and there was the centerpiece of that lift rolling across the floor. And I didn't have no more control over that lift. And she was still hooked to the lift.
Suspended in there.
And she had pushed that thing with that chair and had broke that pin, and it just fell out on the floor. And them wheels started going every which way they wanted to go. And I grabbed her. And as I seen we were going to go down because the wheels went the wrong way. And I said, "Lord, I need help. Help me." And it wasn't but about 5 seconds that I heard my daughter say, "What are y'all doing in the floor?" And I thought, boy, that's the quickest prayer that I ever got answered in my life.
That's better than email, wasn't it?
She was already there She just had made herself known. And that caused her to lose her other leg. And so she passed away being a double amputee. But I'm going to tell you, if ever God ever answered a prayer for me, I know for a fact, without having to ask anybody or anything anywhere, that was answered immediately. And so this is where we're at. Okay. Where's the next one? This was 2 Corinthians 5. The next one is Philippians 1. Okay, we're going to go past Ephesians to Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians 1. Get there in just a second. Philippians 1. We're going to look at 20 through 24. I got to go over one more page. Philippians 1, 20 to 24. And that's on page 1774. And Paul says this in Philippians, because this is after he gets to Rome to go to see Caesar to try to get straightened out with them, because he had been taken in and lived through a hurricane and just about lost his life. They lost the boat, but they didn't lose nobody on the boat.
Nobody died.
Okay, so Paul had prayed for this, and that was another answered prayer. And they had been in this thing for about 2 weeks. And it said for this, in 21, Philippians 1, it says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor." Full stop. Think about that for a minute. That's what a full stop is for. To get you to stop and think about what you just read. "If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I would not." He says, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two." This is the old man and the new man he's talking about here. He lives in the new man, but the old man is still with him. He said, "I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." Now, Jesus isn't mentioned here, which is far better. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So he realizes that his life has already been saved from the storm he was in, but he says, "I could have died there, I guess, but," he said, "I had the desire and I had the prayer." And he says, "To abide in the flesh is more needful to you." So he's telling these Philippian people there that he appreciates what they've done for him, for providing the house and the place to be while he's there waiting to get in to see Caesar. And so this is pretty much important stuff here in verse 6. And then two places in Philippians, 1:23 and 2:17. So in chapter 2, we'll turn over to the next page and look at some of these here. He said, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." But he says in verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy or Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state." So you see all these things that he was writing here. The writing was going back and forth by these carriers or these people that were doing it, that Paul could know and understand where he had left these people and what he had left them with. He hoped that it was still being carried on and taken care of according to God's will. And so that's verse 6. And we're about done. I don't have time. Don't have time to go to 7, but we'll pick up 7 the next time and continue on with it. But these things are important, and sometimes if you get in the middle of a study or toward the end of a study, you may not understand everything that's going on, so it's kind of needful sometimes that we back off just a little bit sometimes and catch you up to speed on some of this stuff, and it's hard to continue to do that when we get just about to the end of a study like this. And of course, Paul was just about done with his ministry here on the earth. And so it's like that with people, because we're here for a short time and then we're not. God gives us wisdom, and we use it while we're here. We come to hope while we're here, because for a long time, hope was to the Jewish people or the Israelites. And God was sent to his own. And guess what? They crucified him. And that was foretold in the scriptures more times than one. And a lot of them that foretold it for God didn't live very long after that, because they lost their life too. Yep. Because see, man can take another man's life, but he can't do anything to God that God don't want him to do.
And that don't change the message either.
No, and the message stays there. It stays on.
Amen.
And so we get all this understanding by study. And so that's the reason I told you to begin with that this was study 217. I laid 52 weeks in a year.
Been a while.
So this has been going on for about 5 years. Because every once in a while, I'm not able to do it, or you know, we have to put it off for one reason or the other. And so this is where we are. We got about 15 verses left.
And what? I've been able to get through that whole book.
Those last 7 epistles. Paul wrote 14 of the 28 epistles in the New Testament. And he wrote 14 of them. A lot of people says he didn't write Hebrews. But I want to ask you to go back and look at Hebrews again sometime and realize that it picks up in Hebrews with these children that grew up during that 40-year time that they were in the wilderness. And their parents, a lot of them were already dead because they murmured to God and didn't like what God was giving them or where God was sending them or taking them. And they lost their life on account of that. But now the young people got to come through it. And whenever they come through it, they crossed over the River Jordan and they got involved with the work of God again. But Paul says, well, you know, you guys were there the whole time, but you're still on the milk. You're not in the meat of the word. And I'm here to give you the meat of the word. And so that was another part of why God chose Paul, because he was kind of like a Supreme Court person here in the United States today. He knew the law from the word go. And people didn't want to hear, and they didn't want to believe this Jesus. But boy, when Paul got a chance, he told them what they'd done and why they'd done it. And he said, you did it in ignorance and in unbelief. And he said, I'm here to give you some meat. Amen. And so, this was another place where Paul picked up and filled in to get them to understand and also to realize that, they could be grafted into Israel's hope. Now, they didn't have a hope at the time. When Paul made it to Rome, we didn't have much hope. Might have had faith, but we didn't have much more than that. But we had to believe what God said and what God had promised. Because if God didn't promise it, he had two ways of looking at things. God says one time, if you will, I will. And he's a mediator for men. And then there's another part of it. He says, well, it doesn't matter what you do. I will do this anyway. And so that's the two ways that God looked at his inheritance, which was, in fact, Israel, those that had Abraham's blood. And see, when Christ went to the cross and shed his blood, then we have the hope of Christ's blood. And so that's where the rubber really hits the road in terms of understanding. So don't get discouraged if you get in the middle of a study. Just hang in and take it all in if you can. So thanks, Ronnie, for the privilege. I thank the Lord for the opportunity. And God bless you. And if everything goes well, I'll see you next week.